Cancer Research UK podcast. Welcome to September's Cancer Research UK podcast. In the show, you can find out how to have your say on the recent decision by NICE to reject four kidney cancer drugs. And there's an interview with TV newscaster Nicholas Owen. Coming up later, we visit a new £20 million drug development centre that we're building just outside London.
Every time I come down and visit this building, I have a smile on my face. And for Cancer Research UK to actually invest such a huge amount of money and confidence in the unit is just amazing.
But first, here's the news with Joe Owens.
Cancer Research UK has expressed deep concern over the decision by NICE, the National Institute of Health and Clinical Excellence, to reject four kidney cancer drugs. NICE has ruled that although the drugs are clinically effective for people with kidney cancer that has spread, they are not good value for money for the NHS. Because metastatic kidney cancer is rare, affecting fewer than 2,000 people every year in the UK, there isn't enough data from large clinical trials to know for sure that the drugs work. But evidence from smaller studies shows that they can be effective and there are no other treatment options for this type of cancer. Here's John Spears from our Policy and Public Affairs team.
Cancer Research UK is very disappointed with NICE's preliminary decision, but we want to know what you think. You can email us at kidney@cancer.org.uk or you can leave a post on our blog, which you can find at scienceblog.cancerresearchuk.org. We'll be making representations to NICE about this, so it'd be really nice to hear from people. Please do get in touch.
A report funded by Cancer Research UK and published in the British Journal of Cancer has shown that cancer survival for teenagers and young adults is up by around 11% over the past two decades. The greatest increase was seen in leukaemia, where survival rates have increased by more than 20%. Previous studies had classed cancer patients as either adults or children, but this work looked specifically at people aged between 13 and 24. The report will act as a baseline for monitoring further improvements in survival for this age group, as well as informing the development of specialised cancer care for teens and young people. It has also identified specific cancers where more work needs to be done, such as brain tumours and bone cancers, where survival rates have changed little since the mid-80s. And finally, Cancer Research UK scientists in Edinburgh have carried out an important study highlighting depression in people with cancer. The team found that cancer patients are three times more likely to think that they would be better off dead or to contemplate suicide than the rest of the population. Patients were most likely to have these thoughts if they had substantial pain, and particularly if they had serious emotional distress. Almost 3,000 people took part in the study at the Edinburgh Cancer Centre. The results highlight the need for more support services to be available for cancer patients, particularly in the area of pain management. That's all the news for now. Back to you, Kat.
Thanks, Joe. And if you want to find out more about these stories or get the latest from the charity scientists and researchers around the world, then do have a look at our news and resources website. That's info.cancerresearchuk.org. TV presenter and news anchor Nicholas Owen is a familiar face to many people from his work on ITN and BBC News 24. But you may not know that he's a tireless supporter of Cancer Research UK and has helped out at many of our events. He's also a cancer survivor. I spoke to him at the rather noisy parliamentary launch of our recent Screening Matters campaign to hear his story.
5.5 years ago, I was suffering what I think might be called grumbling gut. And my wife got very tired of hearing me complaining about it, and she said, why don't you go and see a friend of ours who's a specialist in that area? I went to see him. He said to me, examine me, and he said, I don't think there's anything wrong with you at all. You're fine. Why don't you have a scan, just in case? Had the scan, and my goodness, there was a tumour on one of my kidneys, my right kidney. I had no idea about it. I had no symptoms. But here's a great example of cancer being spotted really early. Very, very lucky. Kidney was removed. But here I am 5.5 years on. The specialist tells me I'm all right so far.
And you're obviously doing quite a lot of work for Cancer Research UK. Tell us about some of the things you've done for us.
I've been very fortunate to be involved with Cancer Research UK. I'm an enormous admirer of the charity. My roles in it have included all sorts of extraordinary things. I remember addressing a meeting in Brighton not too far from where I live, encouraging people to leave money to Cancer Research UK in their wills. Most important thing to do. Another thing that I do a lot of work is with our local Cancer Research UK shop in the town where I live, Reigate in Surrey. I often pop in and out of there. I always joke that I take an awful lot of my old ties in there. I've got a nasty feeling I end up buying half of them back. But it's a marvellous team there. They absolutely epitomise to me what is good about Cancer Research UK, depending on the work of absolutely marvellous volunteers. The oldest lady serving in our shop is over 90. It's just terrific. The effort that goes into it, the dedication, the long hours, all the sorting of the stock, everything else. It's been extraordinary, and that's been, I think, almost the best thing I've done.
And, you know, you're a cancer survivor yourself. How have you seen the picture changing for cancer in the UK over the years?
I hope, that the word cancer, which is still sort of whispered about in some quarters, I think gradually we're changing that. It's often said that in America now, you say cancer and it's like getting, say, pneumonia. It's serious, but it probably won't kill you with a bit of luck. If screening programs are widespread and people make use of them, all the other things that can be done, scans, early diagnosis, that's the absolute key. So that's the big change. I think we are gradually moving away from the idea that cancer is a killer and that's the end of it. Yes, unfortunately, a lot of people still do pass away with cancer, but an enormous number of people are now living with rather than dying from cancer. And that message is gradually getting out there. I'm always banging on about it. Look at me, I'm still here.
Excellent. So you think the future's very bright?
The future is indeed very bright. We have actually in this country an extremely good cancer screening program, for example. We fall down in some other areas. We must do better, of course. But diagnosis, GPs are getting better at spotting things. Loads of things are getting better over time. And just look at the figures. They're very, very simple. We're all living a lot longer. And within that living a lot longer is people being diagnosed of cancer and having it treated so that it doesn't kill them off early.
And finally, what would you say to someone who was thinking about supporting Cancer Research UK but, you know, wasn't really sure if it was worth it?
Please support Cancer Research UK. It makes really good sense. It's a massive organisation, but at the same time, it's not so big that it isn't effective. I know that some charities, perhaps people worry whether the money really does get spent properly. This really does do the job. It's a wonderful organisation. It's been rationalised over the last few years, bringing together two big charities that were sort of competing. There's none of that competition now. It's out there. It's spreading the word. It's encouraging things like screening, early diagnosis, getting away from the stigma of cancer that, oh my goodness, it's going to kill you. All these things are gradually changing, and Cancer Research UK is doing a tremendous amount towards it.
And you can find out more about all the different ways to support our vital work on the web at www.cancerresearchuk.org/support-us. Biotherapeutics, or biological therapies, are treatments that use molecules made by living organisms. Research shows that antibodies, proteins, DNA and viruses all have the potential to target cancer cells, but progress has been fairly slow, partly due to a lack of suitable research facilities. So, in 2006, Cancer Research UK decided to fund a new £20 million biotherapeutics development unit in South Mimms in Hertfordshire. Once completed, it's going to provide a unique centre for scientists across the UK and will hopefully increase the number of drugs making it to clinical trials. Our roving reporter Anna Lacey went to see how the building work is coming along and was guided around the site by Jill Lewis, the head of the biotherapeutics unit.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Hi there.
So, this is Anna. I believe you're expecting her.
Am I?
Yes.
After making it through security and putting on a hard hat and fluorescent jacket, I was finally ready for my tour of the new biotherapeutics development unit. It's still a building site at the moment, which explains the rather exciting wardrobe, but there were still enough walls and doors in place for Jill Lewis to show me round.
In the heart of the building, actually, where we're going to manufacture the products, we've got this corridor that we're standing in, which is a general access and viewing corridor.
And what kind of things will be made in these rooms?
Right, well, what we do is we make biological products. That's products from animal cells or bacterial cells or yeast cells. And those products range from antibodies through cancer vaccines, from DNA plasmids, or even from viruses. So we have to grow those up. That's called fermentation. And then when we grow them up, we then need to purify them. And that gets them into a state where we can send them off to the clinic.
And why are they interesting or important with regards to cancer?
Well, certainly with regards to cancer these days, people are moving towards therapies where they can have fewer side effects. Traditional therapies, they target all of the cells in your body, whereas these, they can be targeted directly towards cancer cells. Also, they're hoping to use them in combination with traditional therapies to get those therapies better targeted towards cancer cells.
A well-known example of a biotherapeutic drug is Herceptin, but most other biotherapeutics are still in development or going through early phase clinical trials. Jill hopes that this new facility will speed up the process and bring more biological therapies to the clinic sooner.
Our current facility only has the capacity to do two or so new products per year, and we can only make products from mammalian cells or from bacteria because of the size and the space restraints that we have. Whereas in this facility, we would have the potential to do a lot more, maybe up to 10 new products a year from a whole range of sources.
So can you give me an example of the kinds of therapies you might be able to do now that you have this new facility?
Yeah, one of the up-and-coming things is working on viral vaccines, and in this facility we are going to have a dedicated unit where we can actually manufacture these viral vaccines. It's very important because the charity wants to continue to develop these projects, and at the moment the way to do that is to actually contract them out to outside companies. But actually the unit is going to have the facility that we'll be able to do this for ourselves, and it means that we can push forward on the development of these viral vaccines, which are really at the cutting edge of some of the new biological therapies that people are working on.
Tea room
as well.
Oh, the tea room, all important. As we continued on the tour, it became clear that the building had been specially designed to stop drugs becoming contaminated at any stage of the manufacturing process.
This corridor is a clean corridor, so actually, although we're standing here in hard hats and boots and things, in manufacturing, you'll be dressed up again in special clean room clothing. We call it a bunny suit, so all in one suit, and you have gloves and a hat and a mask and special shoes as well.
A little bit like when you see it in the movies and people are getting changed to make sure there's no contamination.
That's exactly right. Although it's all about the science and developing these molecules and getting better treatments, it's also most importantly about patient safety. So all of the rooms and the setups are about ensuring that when we manufacture, we don't introduce any contaminants.
Now, you just work just up the road from this building site at the moment, and you've been coming in and seeing it slowly put together. What makes you really excited about this whole project and maybe the future of biotherapeutics in general?
I've been working on this for 10 years plus, and it's purpose-built to our needs. So to have a brand new purpose-built facility with the right air handling and the right services and able to house the number of people that we need to do the job and to showcase what Cancer Research UK has been doing very well since 1990 is just unbelievable. Every time I come down and visit this building, I have a smile on my face. And for Cancer Research UK to actually invest such a huge amount of money and confidence in the unit is just amazing.
When you hear the word clinical trial, you probably think of testing new drugs, but that's not always the case. I spoke to Richard Stevens, a senior research scientist at the Medical Research Council Clinical Trials Unit in London, to find out more.
Trials are not just all about new drugs that come along. It's important that we test all medical procedures and interventions. In fact, many medical treatments come into general use simply because the benefits seem obvious at the time. And sometimes we actually need to go back and have a more formal look at some of these treatments.
So a doctor thinks, well, this sounds like a good idea, I'll give you that, but in fact there's no real evidence supporting it.
Yes, it's surprising really when you look back how few treatments that patients routinely receive have actually undergone rigorous clinical trials. So let me tell you about one of the trials that we're running here. So that's looking at patients who have lung cancer and then develop brain metastases. their lung cancer has spread to the brain. And these patients, once this happens, have a very poor prognosis, which is usually only weeks, at most months. There are things like steroids which can be given to palliate symptoms, but over the years there has been a move towards giving such patients whole brain radiotherapy, giving them a course of radiotherapy to the brain to try and palliate the metastases in their brain. This has really just come along through clinicians wanting to do something for such patients, but it's never been tested in a randomised trial. So one of the trials that we're involved in is called QUARTZ, and what we're actually doing in this trial is trying to see whether giving patients whole brain radiotherapy actually is beneficial in terms of increasing their survival or improving their quality of life.
So can you tell me a bit more about the trial?
I think this is a really interesting trial because we have a situation here where the standard routine treatment is to give radiotherapy. And the question we want to ask is actually, is this doing patients any good? Is it actually improving their quality of life or extending their survival? So that, in a sense, the new experimental treatment is to not give radiotherapy, which is quite a difficult concept for people to take on, because you normally think of trials adding treatments or investigating new treatments. And here we are actually stepping back and saying, are we actually doing any good? And the experimental arm is actually not to give the radiotherapy.
So we're looking at this trial to see if radiotherapy or not radiotherapy is beneficial. How many patients are going to be involved? How's the trial actually set up?
Lung cancer is, of course, the most common cancer worldwide. And about a third of patients will actually develop brain metastases. So this is a big problem. We are hoping to recruit about 1,000 patients into the trial to clearly show the benefits or not of whole brain radiotherapy. We currently have about 80 centres in the UK who have expressed interest in the trial. There's groups in Australia and New Zealand who are participating, and we are hoping that groups in Canada and the rest of Europe will also come on board as well, so that we can get a large number of patients into the trial so that any results that come out will be very reliable.
And you can find out more about the QUARTZ trial from our clinical trials database, which is on the Cancer Help UK website. That's www.cancerhelp.org.uk. Well, we've reached the end once more, so I do hope you've enjoyed this month's podcast. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please send us your comments and suggestions by email to podcast@cancer.org.uk. I'll be back next month with all the latest news from Cancer Research UK, and because it's October, we'll be focusing on breast cancer awareness. So until then, goodbye.